yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Praise the Lord and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Well, today I will continue sharing a message from our Wednesday podcast, Challenge to Change, with Pastor Paul Morgan. And he started a message entitled, Are You Talking to Me? And what he is looking at is the significance of the conversation that we're having with ourselves. What are we saying to ourselves? And especially during this time with all that's going on, all the things that we're seeing, all the disruptions that have come into our lives during this season that has caused us to make changes, to make adjustments, to be challenged. And I think we're being challenged to change. So it's actually perfect that I'm sharing a message from this Wednesday podcast. So this is part two of Are You Talking to Me? And one of the things that stood out for me in this message is that the conversations that we have with ourselves, whatever we're telling ourselves, whether it's positive or negative, our consciousness is listening, is taking that in, and it takes it in, and it delivers it to our subconscious. Our subconscious takes it as instruction. And when things happen and we respond, a lot of times we are responding to instructions that were received through our self-talk that now are in our subconscious, and we may have forgotten that we even said the very thing that we're responding, that we are following the behavior that fulfills that negative conversation or that positive conversation that we are having with ourselves. I think about that scripture that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So the conversations that we have with ourselves are very, very important. And we need to stay aware. I did a message a couple of years back about being woke and staying woke, being, and when I say that, I don't say it in the context of today's culture and how they use that phrase. It's a familiar phrase, so I'm using it, but I'm using it in the context of spiritual things, staying woke to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. And because we are never separated from God, we live and we move and we have our being in Him. He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never separates Himself from us. We do the separating. Oftentimes our behavior, our guilt or our shame or whatever it is will cause us to draw away in our consciousness and in our emotions away from God. But He is always drawing close to us. I think about the story of the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. And this son decided that he wanted to go off and into the world and do his adventures. And so he asked for his inheritance and he took off into the world and he made many mistakes and he found himself eating with the pigs. He had fallen that low. All the people that were hanging around with him and patting him on the back and having fun with him, the minute he hit rock bottom, they left. They were not there in that moment. And he realized that he needed to go back home because he had a father who loved him. And it tells us that as he's walking toward his home, going back to the father sees him from a distance and begins to run toward him. Even before he gets there, he's not standing there waiting and saying, "I told you so," or, you know, with that attitude like so often we have when we have given counsel and given direction. And then the person comes back after making the bad decisions that we warned him, the person of. And it's the attitude is, I told you so. I saw what the outcome was going to be, but you didn't listen. But not this father. This father loved, he ran to his son. He saw him from a distance. He saw him coming back. And he ran toward him and he embraced him. And he loved him and he began to restore him. It talks about him putting new sandals on his feet and putting a robe on. He was restoring him. That is the kind of love that the Father has for us. And so when we're talking to ourselves, we need to talk to ourselves remembering that we have a Father who loves us. No matter what we see and no matter what people are saying, we have to know that we're secure in this relationship that we have with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is still a great mystery of all that He has done and how much He loves us. We have not even begun to partake of all that He has done for us. We're still growing and learning. But this is a season to speak language that says, "I am trusting. I'm trusting in you, God. I'm waiting on you. I will not allow fear, worry, and anxiety to determine what I say and what I do. That I will stand still to see your salvation." And the wonderful thing is that We have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So everything that we need to be able to stand in this season is in us. We don't have to look to outside things, because most of the time we're looking outside of ourselves. We're looking for people, looking to people. We're looking for situations. We're looking for something outside of ourselves, and everything that we need has been placed within us. We just need to be still. So I'm going to stop there. I am going to say a quick prayer, and then I am going to play part two of Are You Talking to Me? And it's a message done by Pastor Paul Morgan on his Wednesday podcast, which is a weekly podcast. The broadcast is titled Challenged to Change. And sometimes we do have to be challenged. And these times, believe me, they are challenging us. They're challenging us. And it's a good thing that we're being challenged, because there are some things that we believe about God that is a lie. It's the lies that we believe that leave us shaky when trouble comes, because only truth is able to make us free. Only truth is able to strengthen and empower us to be able to stand no matter what is going on. I was listening to the news today, and it was a story about what's going on in Afghanistan. And it was a story about the protests that are being done by women. All these women are out in the streets. They are actually endangering themselves by being out there and protesting against the Taliban, because they don't want to go back to how things were. And they're willing to go out and possibly die, because they're being tear gassed. Some people are being clubbed. You know, they're being threatened. And yet they are standing because they believe in something. How much more powerful? How much more powerful for us in the midst of this? We're not just believing in an ideal. We're not believing in a particular system, but we're believing in God Almighty. So we can stand. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you are not feeling the strength of his presence in your life, there are some things that you need to unlearn about God and about who he is and who you are in him and how he sees you. Because if your beliefs are faulty, they will cause you to shake and to tremble in the face of trouble. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your loving presence and that you love us so much. You love us even with the things that we have not worked out in our lives, or have not allowed you to work out in our lives, where we have not completely surrendered and submitted ourselves to you. Lord, but we want to be able to have a humble spirit and to trust you and to yield ourselves to you. I thank you that by your spirit that you will be ministering through this broadcast as they listen to this message, and the anointing that you have placed on this message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless the hearers. Encourage them. Strengthen their hearts in this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. So be blessed. Are You Talking to Me, Part 2?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Chosen Generation Ministries. It's a conversational church. We can ask questions. We can talk back to each other. In respect, say in respect. In respect. If you're out of respect, we got special people for you. You just don't know where they are. But I know where they are. But we're going to have a good time. You're going to learn. You're going to be edified, enriched, and transformed if you choose to, because it's going to be your choice. Okay? So I shared on Thursday that where I got this title from was this movie called Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro in it, and he was practicing to be able to confront his opponent. And he was practicing in the mirror, and he was just talking to himself. And you know, his conversation was, "You talking to me? You talking to me?" And it was his way of preparing himself for whatever was going to come with the answer. And so when you talking to me, I need you to understand that's considered self-talk. When you're talking to yourself, it's considered self-talk. And what I want to do is I want to get you to a place where later on in the teaching, not today, where you understand you can grab the thoughts that you are thinking to yourself, the conversation you are having with yourself, and then be able to replace the thought. Because the strength of self-talk is counting on you not knowing what's being said. So can you imagine what we talked about a few weeks ago was you speak 150 to 300 words per minute to yourself. So let's say if you hooking up with the wrong self-talk, can you imagine how much you are saying to yourself that you're not even aware of? And we think between 50,000 thoughts per day. So anybody ever been upset and you stayed upset the whole day? Everybody in here, y'all ain't got to raise your hand. Thank you, Nicole, for raising your hand, though. Because everybody's done it. So can you imagine what type of edge that thought has on you? Because you thought it 50,000 times that day. Then the next day comes, second of all, you didn't get much sleep. Now, y'all raise your hand to this one. How many of y'all get upset, mad, disappointed with somebody, and then try to go to sleep? How did that sleep go? Huh? Didn't go? I can't hear y'all. Not good. So why do you think that thought didn't go, that sleep didn't go well? Because the thought is still being downloaded to yourself. So you're still self-talking. That's why you can't go to sleep. And a lot of times, we spend time talking about what we should have said. Anybody do that? See, y'all try to act like y'all didn't get in no argument with nobody. I should have said this. See, the self-talk saying, okay. Self-talk is saying it. So it's loading. And then what happens the next morning is now you got all this stuff that you hoping you're going to run into the person so you can say it. Now, they was at the airport, so they going to Jamaica, and you coming back to America. So you was thinking about them, and we'll never see them again. But that thing's still loaded. It's still loaded. So, just a quick review. So, self-talk plus your consciousness. Your consciousness is its awareness. It knows what you're saying, okay? So, self-talk plus your consciousness equal instructions. So, that instruction that you said when you couldn't sleep that night was, if I ever see them again, this is what I want to do. So, now, that's your consciousness. And then the subconscious said, you just gave an instruction, and now I'm going to work. Because that's an action that you just gave me to do. So now what you going to do in your flesh, say in your flesh. When your spouse say, honey, where you want to go for an anniversary? What's going to happen? Where you going to go? I got to find this guy. I'm hoping he works at a hotel. So I'm going to book a hotel that I think he's working at. But now your neighbors, your friends, your family just told you they got an all-expensive paid trip on a cruise. But see, the last instruction that you gave was, I want to see this person again so I can tell them. Now, you're going to go all the way to Jamaica, miss the free cruise, looking for the person. So are you with whoever you went with? The subconscious still put the action out there that I got to find this person. So you go to the restaurant. You're not enjoying your food because who you thinking about? I just hope, you know, because he happened to have braids on. So you're looking at everybody got braids. You're not with your spouse. You looking at everybody that got braids. Guys, this is real stuff. I'm telling you, this is real stuff. But I want you to get an understanding because the person that asked me a question is once the subconscious grabs it and that's all it hears, remember I said before long that self-talk that you keep to yourself is going to be verbalized. And when it's verbalized, that's your faith in action, either for good or for bad. We was at my wife and I was at a pastor's conference. And so, you know, they email you a week ago and they say, you know, what are the foods? You know, they give you a list of the foods that you can eat. And so Curly put hers down. I put mine down. So the first day was on Thursday. And you know, they told you come into a lunchroom and then you grab your lunches and stuff like that. They had the name on it, you know. So this one lady, she was she knew us from a previous church. So she the lady that was helping her said, well, I think their lunch is over here. And she said, I know, I got it, I know them. And so she couldn't find it. No, she couldn't find it. She looked for it, and it was right in front of her. Remember that, honey? It was right in front of her. And she did it so well, she just handed it to the lady and said she knew it. Okay? All right, so now on the Thursday, everything good, lunch good. So Friday comes, and it's lunchtime again. But because we're running behind in the workshop, what they decide to do is you're going to eat at your table. But I always try to go somewhere when I'm separating myself mentally from something. And so Curl and I were going to go to the car and, you know, just sit down, relax, and so forth. And so they brought me mine at the table, and they couldn't find Curly's. And so some time goes by, because we only got a half an hour. Some time goes by. And so finally, I walk over to one of the women, and they say, well, we have extras. What did she order? And so, but these had our names on them, okay? And so we walk over, and they say, well, what she ordered, this would be okay. Because, you know, it doesn't have a name on it. These are just extras. So we walk out to the car. Now, I want y'all to listen for the self-talk. We're getting in the car, and my wife says, this has never happened to me, okay? Because remember one of the creeds that Curly and I live off of is every time someone encounters us, they do the best to make sure that we have a good time. So Curly getting in the car. Now, she got a lunch, but it's not the one that she ordered. So she says, this has never happened to me. So, you know, we get on in the car, we bless our food, and we eat. Then we leave and go back in. Now, lunch is over at 12. Well, around about 2 o'clock, we get this text. I get this text that says, we found your wife's lunch. Now, why did they find my wife's lunch? Because she said this has never happened to me, and it never will. This has never happened to me, and it never will. So the last thing that the subconscious heard her put into place was instructions. It's never happened to me, and it never will. Subconscious, it sent out a message to the angels and says, because she said it's never happened to me, and it never will, they got to find her lunch. So all these angels running around saying, locate her lunch, because what? It's never happened to me, and it never will. Because the last thing the subconscious heard was, it never will. So this can't be the first time. Now, we in the middle of the workshop, they find a lunch 2 hours later, because the last thing that it heard, never happened, never will. But see, that's what I want you to get. She didn't just think that anymore. She verbalized it. Your verbalization of it is your faith talking, whether for good or for bad. So when I start to take you to these places where you're going to find out and see what's going to happen is by your fruit, you should know them. So whatever fruit you got, those are the things that you did yourself talk to. The conscious picked it up and it gave it instructions. Then the instruction went to the subconscious and it gave it action. This is what they said. I'll never amount to anything. So you can get a good job, but the last thing that it heard was, I'll never amount to anything. So it has to find a way to lose that. Okay? So our thoughts will direct our self-talk. So Curly thought about it for a moment, and then she said, her self-talk lined up with what she was thinking, which is, this has never happened to me before and never will again. So eventually, whatever you're thinking in your mind, you're going to say it. I want to make sure you get an understanding of that. And the enemy is waiting on you to say it. But goodness and mercy, the angels that follow you night and day are waiting on you to say something different. So self-talk. Self-talk influences our self-worth. What's the last thing you thought about yourself? This is an open question. This is a conversational question. I want the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, I got somebody back here?
I have somebody online that says, but I thought you should never say never because then you bring it to yourself.
Okay, never say never. If you are wanting to make sure that something never happens to you, what other word would you use? What other word would you use? I always say, I'm the last one that leaves the job. Other people could get fired, but I'm the last one to leave the job because I've never been fired. What else y'all want me to say? I'll be the first to go? Go ahead. Thanks for your comment, though.
You were talking about self-worth, so I knew I was cute.
Okay.
Like, you know, I feel like my hair is a really good asset, and, you know, I have little Asian eyes, and she'll always told me my whole life that I have natural eyeliner. So I'm like, okay, I'm cute. Then we went on vacation.
Oh, wow.
And I saw a plethora.
Plethora.
Of
how
women,
many is that, y'all?
a bunch.
Okay.
in shape, toned, bigger butts, but, you know, natural, like, clear skin. And I'm like, okay, well, I thought I was cute. Okay. So it's like I've been trying to recover ever since we went on vacation.
Okay. So you make sure you write that down, because when we get to the healing place, we're going to bring healing to that. Okay. So now what happened is what? I'm comparing myself. We do that a lot. Y'all not lying, right? Okay. We do that a lot. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, sir. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
This morning when I was getting dressed, I was like, ew, do I see disgusting back fat?
Okay.
So that was my last thought when I was getting dressed.
Okay. Last thought was, ooh, I see disgusting back fat. Now, what will happen with that? Where do you think the thought will go? Other places. So the thought won't just stay with the back fat. Y'all know that, right? Okay. Yes, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Very similar to what Jasmine said. Yesterday I went to a wonderful outdoor event, and I started looking. I said, Lord Jesus, all these shapes, and everybody was half dressed. And I was like, Lord, how do I compete covered up with people who are letting it all hang out?
Okay.
And so it was the very same conversation.
Okay, appreciate your honesty. Y'all here? Yes, sir. She got hers in, and everybody else got theirs out. She said, how I compete with that? All right, what else? All right, one coming.
I used to say, I do my best work behind the scenes.
Okay, I do my best working behind the scenes. But what was it that the Holy Spirit gave you? Now I'm talking to you.
I do my best work whenever I show up on the scene.
We had a session yesterday. We started working on, what have you given your, what is your self-conscious? What did you give? What are you saying? Let's make a slight adjustment. She still used the word best. But now the last thing that the subconscious heard, which is going to her faith, is I do my best when I show up. And what was that? On any scene. You ain't got to see me and I do my best. I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, if you look at the fruit in your life, if it's not good, self-talk was bad. There's another hand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I caught myself saying last week, if I don't do anything right, it's these children.
Okay.
And then I had to think about it, like, am I limiting myself to only being a good mom?
There it is. See, this is what I love about teaching. Whatever you teach on, the Holy Spirit enlightens. So I don't even have to get to the part where how you get free. You're going to start thinking about it, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the guide. He'll take the things of God and bring it to you. So if you're operating in things that are not of God, he's going to take that and show it to you. But I'm telling you, man, by your fruit. If you never finished anything in your life, you had to say something in order to do that, your thoughts. If you're never consistent with anything, you can't be inconsistent unless you think inconsistent thoughts. And you're spending your time thinking about it. And the last instruction that the subconscious got was, I got to find a way to make sure you don't finish nothing. I start strong. But then what happens? Outlook. Self-talk influences our outlook. What is our outlook? How we look at things, how we see things, how we perceive things. What was your outlook? Nicole and Jazz gave an outlook. Rothen gave an outlook. Ashley gave an outlook. Tamika gave an outlook. What did they see? What did they see? They said what they saw. What is your outlook about church? Don't need it? Why come? It's the best thing that ever happened to me? What is your outlook about church? I don't need it. I can watch it on TV. And nothing wrong with watching it on TV, watching it on social media, nothing wrong with that. But if you can come, come. Get in person. Get personal. What I'm excited about, I was telling my wife on the way to work, this is my outlook. It's like when the coronavirus was kind of strong and, you know, it's like, people would leave church, you know, after, you know, you speak to people and leave. But now they're kind of hanging around talking to each other. God created us for relationships. Because what you don't know, someone else does. Uh-oh. If you allow them to tell you. Or do you do all the talking? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I better make the adjustment. So let's look at David's outlook. Because David had some issues. David had some challenges. I mean, you're the king. You got everything going for you. But then, what do you think David's self-work was to look at another woman naked up on the, you know, and I see I got children, they know what naked is. You see another man's wife up on top of her sunbathing and taking a bath, and you decide, yeah, I'm king, she look good. Now, you already got your spouse. You can have anybody you want, but why you want to marry somebody? Why you want to mess with somebody that's married? That's a real question, guy. Why you want to, because what am I thinking? I have all the power. So you know, he get in there. Y'all notice what I'm using. Okay? and so, you know, the woman gets pregnant. So he decides, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the wife back. I'm going to let her husband get out of the army for a weekend. So maybe he's the one. But God got another plan, because he didn't choose somebody that's inconsistent to mess with their wife. He chose somebody that was consistent, meaning that this man is not going to go in there and sleep with his wife, because he said, my men are out there at battle. Why should I go in and have fun? The same way at this conference, there was a pastor that was there had shared about how they have funded some families, some pastors over in Afghanistan. And they said, we can get you out, pastor. And he said, why should I leave when they're going to die? I will stay here and die with them, because I am an example of Jesus Christ to them. Now, a real question there. Oh, no. So back to David. So my man said he slept outside on the front porch and didn't even go in. I don't even know whether he got any food from them or whether he carried some army food home with him. But all I know is that didn't work. So now David, because write this down, mentally, physically, I don't care how you do it. Whatsoever a man sows, this and only this will he reap. Now he sowed chaos to this man's family. He sowed cheating to this man's family. He sowed deception to this man's family. But the scripture said this and only this. So what he supposed to reap? Oh, everything supposed to be good. So let's see what happened. So David's son turned on him. Inside family. Y'all know scripture said that sometimes your enemies are in your family. Y'all heard about that, didn't you? Okay. Any of y'all experienced it? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, because your family might be sitting beside you. All right, but check out what David's outlook was. Now David is going through it. He got kicked out of his kingdom. Now, he the king, but he got kicked out of the kingdom by his son. It goes on to say, this is David, self-talk. Why are you in despair, oh my soul? Who are we talking to? His soul. Why are you in distress, despair, oh my soul? What have you asked your spirit about? What have you asked your spirit about? Is something going on, and all you got to do is ask them? So he's asking. He said, I tell you what. And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Where is it? It's in him. But let me tell y'all a secret about restless and disturbed. We get restless and disturbed whenever we want God to move faster than we think he should. So we get restless and disturbed because we're believing God to do a miracle today, and he got the miracle plan for tomorrow. Okay, Jazz, I got somebody in agreement over there. Have we ever got restless and disturbed? Because see, if God is a God of peace, if we're not in peace, that's because we're somewhere else. Yeah, I serve God. I tithe. I give offerings. I'm faithful in church. But what's your self-talk about the situation you're in? It never go well for me. It was going well just a moment ago. So y'all do realize when we step into something that God has already sent angels to us to bring it to pass. He getting ready to whisper in that employment person's ear. When you pull up that resume, I want you to call them. But we decide God is taking too long. So what we do is we interrupt it. Well, maybe if I call them. Well, now, you just put the angel to stop. The angel just stopped. Angel turned around and looked back like, what I do now? Because you sent me to this location, but they changed the plan. I heard that breath. That breath meant something. So we get restless and disturbed when we step out of the will of God. This is what he said now. He's talking to his conscience, right? He's talking to his conscience. It's going to take it to the subconscious. He said, hope in God. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm going back. I'm tired of feeling in despair. I'm tired of being restless. I'm tired of being disturbed on the inside. Because, see, they didn't have Tylenol back then. You know, you couldn't take that Tylenol pill. What's that pill you're supposed to take and help you go to sleep? PM. They didn't have that. So he said, I got to talk this thing through to God because I'm tired of feeling this way. Are you tired of feeling this way? He said, hope in God. This is what I'm going to go back to. This is David saying, I'm a hope in God. and I'm going to wait expectantly for him. But check this out. For I shall again praise him. So what is that telling us? He stopped praising him. How many times have we stopped praising God because we didn't see it when we thought we should see it? We mad at God. Anybody ever been mad at God? Y'all be honest. Okay, all right. I got one person on this side, two people on this side say they're mad at God. So y'all can repent at any time. The rest of y'all. Yes, sir. They still mad. But he said, so again, I will praise him. Again means I had stopped doing it. So we need to praise God about what we're believing for. You follow me? Say something. Check this out, though. All he knew was for the help of his presence. So he knew that if God shows up, I'm going to have peace. But in order for God to show up, you got to praise him for what you're believing that he's going to do. If you're believing that there's no hope, it's over. Lord back there got one more semester left. This December, right? That's right. Yeah. Studying in the nursing field. So, you know, a lot of times he got to praise God. He hired somebody one time because he didn't know how to type. So what do you think self-talk was? I'm going to get this done if I got to pay somebody. But the person fell asleep. The person he hired. Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. So what do you think his self-talk was? They fired? But you think he thought fired first, though, Nicole? Because he still got to get the paper done, though. I got to do it myself. It's going to take me all night. That was a waste of money. She can't wake up? What y'all thinking? I'm going to find somebody else, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning, Madeline. Lord slid her to the side and started typing himself. Lord, am I lying on you? No, sir. Because it's 4 o'clock, Madeline. I can't get nobody else. His self-talk was, if you're being real. Hey, Lord, how long did it take before you slid her to the side?
Hey, Pastor, I looked over and she was sleeping. I was like, oh, my God, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't get nobody to do this. So okay. I just started typing.
You see what I'm saying? So your choices have to be sometimes to the point where I can count on me, I'm going to get her done. He never told me whether that person came back or not. Because by then, he started to type yourself. So what is your self-talk saying about your situation? As long as I got God's presence, it's going to work. It's going to be done. It might even be a miracle. Y'all know what a miracle is, right? When the impossible is possible and when the impossible is done. And you can look back and you can say there's no other way that this could have happened other than God's presence. What y'all laughing about back there? All right, self-talk influences our success. Y'all understand that, right? If I'm successful, I'm thinking successful thoughts. I'm talking successful language. That's me who's doing that. I'm giving the angels goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. To see to it that what I say come to pass. So if you're not saying anything that goodness and mercy can work with, who's working on your behalf? Turn to your neighbor. Y'all don't turn to yourself. Go to the mirror. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you saying about success? Are you saying it doesn't run in my family? How come you won't be the first? It's real stuff, guy. What are you saying? Anybody want to be honest? All right, I'm gonna move on to failures then. All right, y'all want to talk about success? What would you tell yourself about success? Just now, seriously. Been waiting a long time. But let me go on to failure. Y'all didn't want to talk. Yes, ma'am. I got one. What we got?
So I didn't know that I was scared. I thought I was scared of failure, but I was actually scared to be successful.
Okay.
So you walked me out of you and the Holy Spirit walked me out of that as far as the freedom-wise of being able to be successful and also being successful within the immediate family. I was just thinking that there was a comfort level, and I was good with that.
Okay.
But you're like, no, God has you to do more things. And so I had to believe that myself. So I never knew that I was scared. I thought I was scared to fail, but I was actually scared to be successful.
Amen. So fear of success means I can't keep it going. Fear of failure means that I can't get it at all. If I get it, I'm going to lose it. So let's talk about failures then. How many of y'all got failures in your life? Okay. All right. Appreciate your honesty. Now repeat after me. Holy Spirit, in that area I just saw in my mind, when he asked a question, would you mind revealing to me what my self-talk has been? Uh-oh. Okay. Just close your eyes and receive. Find out what it says. Then raise your hand once he told you, he showed you. Okay. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, you can open your eyes. I need 3 people on this side and 3 people on that side. So the mic guy will run over towards you. What was the word or the sentence that you heard in your subconscious, because Nandan dropped to the subconscious, that you have been saying that creates failure?
The decisions I made long time ago.
The decisions I made a long time ago.
Have created chaos.
Has created chaos. Appreciate your honesty. You're going to be free of that. Who else on this side?
Mine was, I want it now, so I'm going to do it myself.
I want it now, I'm going to do it myself. Okay, appreciate your honesty. Who else? Dale on this side. Anybody on this side? I got one in the back. Okay.
What I see is going to happen.
What I see is going to happen. Okay. Okay. Who else? Is somebody right behind you, Dale? What I see is going to happen.
Relationships aren't worth it.
Relationships aren't worth it. And y'all think about it. Now, does she just mean she has certain relationships in her mind, right, Shell? But relationships, so what does that mean? Everything that you have with a person is a relationship. You have different levels, though, right? Yeah, ain't anybody on the 5. That's total nakedness. That means you share a lot of stuff. But all it heard was relationships. I think you had one, Lord. Did you have your hand up? A mic coming your way.
Mine was failure.
Failure, okay. Yes, is that broad? Can that go a lot of places? Okay. Well, let's see what the word say about failure. See, I love this thing. So when I'm thinking failing thoughts, I got to get a different perspective. But all I got to do is ask the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher, who's the guide, who will take the things of God and bring it to me? So I'll say out of my mouth, not in my head, say out of my mouth, Jesus, what's your perspective of this? And this is what 2 Timothy says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 in the New King James. For God has not, I'm going to read it out loud. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Check this out. Okay, so God is telling us what he's given us. He said, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. Fear is where failure is. Fear is where failure is. So we don't have to even wonder why we're failing. All we do is ask, what fear is operation? What fear is in operation? What fear? What am I afraid will happen if I succeed? But power. I got a question, a statement?
Yes. Someone online says what they say to themselves is, it will happen for others, but not for me.
Appreciate your honesty. Okay. Just make sure you continue to watch on tonight, today, and Thursday, because I'm going to bring healing to those areas in Jesus Christ. So, but he said, I give you power. His power is unlimited. His power can reach and do what no one else can do. His power can give somebody who don't like you the ability to bless you. And I've told Sherry that before. People gave me money that was crumbled up and they shoved it in my hand. But once I unraveled it, will it still spin? Yeah. That's their issue. It ain't mine. I got blessed. But he gave us power. That's the anointing. That's God upon our flesh, in our flesh, doing only that which God can do. He gave us discernment. We'll see things that other people don't see. He gave us wisdom, the ability to comprehend everything that is necessary. He gave us his presence. That's where the peace is. I got another person writing in.
So someone online says, what happens when you don't know the word of God fast enough to change the negative thoughts into positive or even know where to find it?
Okay, so that's why you need to continue to watch. Because I'm going to take you over there to my favorite scripture in Philippians. Think on those things that are true. Yeah, y'all ought to be able to quote it by now. Think on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and life-giving. So you just choose one of them. I'm going to focus on virtue. That's life-giving. So when you'll know if you just use that one scripture. Because, see, sometimes people think you got to know 1,200 scriptures in order to get free. You just got to know the one you believe. I believe that one in Philippians. But this is the catch right here, brother or sister, whoever wrote. This is it right here. He said, those things that you have both learned and received and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So in the only way that I can, when I read the Bible, don't just read the Bible, but he said you got to do it. When you do it, the peace of God will be with you. When you do it, the victory of God will be with you. When you do it, the anointing of God will be with you. So you just can't hear a word, read a word. You got to do what it says. You follow me? How many of y'all want to forgive people? It's not our first. Is that I see two people on this side. This side is radical over here. Thank you, Dale. This side radical over here. Man, the best thing I could do was when the floor guy kept messing up the floor. Wouldn't show up, wouldn't do what he said we're gonna do. But when you have someone who's operating in love and loves the sound mind part. See, let me tell y'all about this. But the power and the love, that's what God has given us. Love. Love does what's best for the other person. I know people don't like to hear that, but love does what's best for the other person. So when you got to speak truth to a person, that's what's best for them. Because how do you know that everybody else is not speaking truth to them? If they're still doing what they're doing, someone hadn't told them something. Now, they have the ability to change when they want to. But wrong is wrong. And we should. I would want somebody to tell me, and I have somebody who tells me. It's called my wife. But she do it so gracefully. Don't she, Jay? She smile at you. And the little Corey say, yeah. And then, you know, when it's deep, she'll touch my hand. You know, because she know when she touch me, I'm just loving it. And then she uses a sound mind to approach the situation. She asks a question. She already know the answer. I'm just telling y'all. Y'all want to learn. Listen. She said, honey, have you ever thought? Said, so who is she putting it on? You. Anyway, what was I talking about? What was I talking about? Huh? Oh, the floor. So, you know, my loving wife approaches me. And she said, honey, have you ever thought about releasing that man? I don't want to hear it. I mean, what's y'all self-talk? If you know you gave somebody some money.
Heck no.
Okay, heck no. She probably would say something else if kids wouldn't know. So she said it so smooth. She said, she tapped it twice. She said, just listen. First tap was honey. Second tap was just listen. See, I'm telling y'all about body language. Y'all, yeah. So then she went on and did the plan. She said it. Let's just release him from it. She said, I tell you what, this is what I know, Paul, about human behavior. See, she used my own words over there. That's it. She used my own word. She said, what did I know about human behavior? If you blame yourself, people will listen. I said, what? Y'all don't think I'm peaceful all the time, do you? I gotta work at that thing. That's what I'm telling you guys. I gotta work at that thing sometime. So she said, so let's just go ahead and do it that way. Let's just go ahead and allow him to, you take the blame, you know, the reason he couldn't get in, reason he couldn't finish, reason this, such, you take it. And I said, okay. I said, let me think about it. She tapped me again and said, okay. That's her laying hands on me. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know that. Because see, that one stayed a little longer. That one stayed a little longer. It stayed like this. Okay? But see, she prayed quick. So about an hour later, I come back. I say, honey, you're right. But you know what was the best thing I did was releasing them, because then I didn't have to deal with that. I didn't have to deal with the emotions of it. Didn't have to deal with seeing it. See, sometimes, I mean, I'm telling y'all, y'all might think that, is it okay to say? I mean, y'all might think that's special or a weakness. But if I'm sleeping better, I'm resting better, and I got something else done better, why am I looking at what was worse? Because my Bible says, see, I just talk about my Bible because I don't know what Bible y'all read. But my Bible says, or whether you're reading the Bible. Okay, I'm just telling you. But my Bible says, when the thief is found, he has to pay back 7 times what was stolen. And the secret with that is, I don't care who it come from. Y'all follow me? I don't need to see his demise. But anyway, I'm just telling you about love. So she loved me enough to tell me. Okay, Go ahead, Nicole.
Do you think the enemy was trying to get every time you came into this room and saw the floor for that to be a point of frustration
yes.
for
mm-hmm.
you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had to talk to myself. I had to forgive me every time I saw it. I had to forgive me every time I saw it. And I did it until I could walk in here and not think about the floor. Guys, I'm telling you, we have the ability, but we got to use it. But check this out. Can y'all find, now, I'm just telling you what the scripture says. I'm not talking against nobody or talking down to nobody. But if you got a sound mind, what's supposed to be in it? Peace. Love. Wisdom. Joy. The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. Is abundance in a sound mind? Is your house in a sound mind? Is your car in a sound mind? See, now I'm getting with material things. See, y'all bagging back. How you supposed to get to work? You supposed to have choices. Whether I want to catch the bus or I want to drive. What's in a sound mind? Is health in a sound mind? So you ask the Holy Spirit, when you're dealing with failure, what's his perspective? So I like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Because a sound mind is going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A sound mind recognizes that it is not doing well without him. And that we need him. Areas of your life. See, you will always need the presence of a God who created you. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. So I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm going to offer the God who created us to be able to come and live in your life. Because things will change. You'll be different if you listen and obey what he's sharing with you to do. And this is one of the things he's asking you to do. So the congregation will repeat with me as an agreement of what you are saying. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind fear, pride, arrogance that says I'm in charge of my life. But according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, you said that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now. I now make you the Lord of my life. Therefore, according to your word, I'm born again, I'm saved, and I have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for giving me the Son, the S-O-N. In Jesus' name, amen. And what you just did was you accepted Jesus to come into your heart. Your life is new. So go to chosenrva.com and go to the new members page, and you'll see where my wife and I have given you information so you'll understand what it is you just did. Because, guys, it's extremely important to know what you just did, because if you don't, it says the thief will come and steal from you. Oh, you can't get saved by repeating the word? Yes, you can. But you won't know that unless you continue to read and study.
Yeah.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.